Our Father in heaven, we thank you for truth and for the liberation that truth gives to us. Lord, I ask you now in the name of Jesus, the great liberator, that you would free our minds as the word is spoken. Give me the right words and help me to say these words in the right way and in the right spirit, that they will not be resisted. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What is the title of this afternoon's presentation? Does anyone know, without reading the flyer, does anyone know what the title is? Open wide, but don't say, ah. Have you ever noticed how frequently the word see is used in the early chapters of the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. On the third day, and God saw that it was good. And that expression, God saw, is used for the first day, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth. God is seeing. He saw that it was good. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, or verse 9, and out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. We have eyes again. It was important that when Adam and Eve and all their descendants looked at these trees, that the effect would be a delightful one. Seeing was a very important thing. Chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. So we have a lot of seeing going on in the book of Genesis in the early chapters. And indeed, throughout God's word, all this seeing. You know, Jesus talks about those who have eyes, but they see not. And they have ears, but they hear not. In the book of Genesis 21, we shall go there. Genesis chapter 21, as we continue with open wide, but don't say, ah. Genesis 21, the Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had spoken. And the Lord did unto Sarah, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and he did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. And so we have Isaac coming into this world. And in verse 8, the Bible says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Sarah saw it. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Ishmael was his son. And the Lord said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman shall I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And the Bible says in verse 14, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave them unto Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. Verse 15, the story goes on to say, the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She's in the wilderness now, in the desert area. She's wandering, because Abraham spent much of his time in the southern part of the land called the Negev, which is the desert area. So she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle, Genesis 21, verse 15. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. That's what verse 16 says. So she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Hagar began to cry. She was in desperate straits in the desert, no water. And she's watching, or she does not want to see Ishmael as he dies of thirst. This 14-year-old boy, her boy, And she goes a certain distance away, turns her face, lifts up her voice to heaven, and she cries. Verse 17 says, "And God heard the voice of the lad. He was crying too. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, Hagar, what aileth thee? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation." Now in the next verse. "And God opened her eyes." God opened her eyes, and what did she see? "And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink." God opened her eyes. Now remember, Hagar was in the wilderness. Abraham lived in a fairly arid area, that southern part of Palestine or Canaan. It was the Negev area. It was a dry area. Hagar was wandering in an area where there was no water. She probably looked around when the bottle of water that Abraham gave her in verse 14 of Genesis 21 began to run low. I'm sure she looked around. Is there any water around? Is there some bush I can cut and squeeze out some moisture? Nothing. But God says to her, God opens her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. God opened her eyes. And he said to her, open wide. You know, the dentist tells us, open wide and say, ah. Open wide. But when God says to us, open wide, very often he says, don't say a thing. Just look. Just behold my miracle working power. My brothers and my sisters, if God does not open our eyes. Not physically. I'm sure Hagar looked around and saw nothing. When God opened her eyes, she saw the well of water. You know, the psalmist David prays in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. As Christians, we have to learn to depend on God to open our eyes. Because there's so much we do not see unless God opens our eyes. And this eye-opening reality is particularly applicable to the Laodicean church of which we are a part. And I say that with great regard and respect. We are a part of Laodicea. And the message of Jesus Christ to Laodicea is, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and a white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And the question I want to ask you this evening is, what is it that God wants us in these last days to see? And how will God open our eyes that we may see a well of the pure water of truth, that we may survive in these last days? What is it that we're not seeing and will never see unless God opens our eyes? Do we realize, for instance, the condition of our church? Do we realize the state in which the church is? Now, understand me clearly. I love this church. And my only regret as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian is that I did not come into it from the womb. That is the only regret I have. But I can't change the past, so I don't dwell on it. I want to establish very clearly in your hearing and on tape, I love the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is my church, and based upon what the Bible has shown me, I am in the right church. I'll never leave it unless God appears to me in a vision And if he does that, he has to come twice as he came to Pharaoh. Showed him the ears of corn or wheat, then he showed him the seven thin-looking calves. Cattle, he needs to come twice. That I may know it is established of the Lord, as Joseph told Pharaoh in Genesis 41, I think verse 34. He needs to come twice because I love this church and I will remain with this church as long as I live. But my faithfulness to the church is not a veil that covers my eyes. Nor should your faithfulness to this church be a veil that covers your eyes. Our church is in serious trouble. There's a sermon I listened to, I got from Brother Al right here by C.D. Brooks called I Want My Church Back. It is a very appropriate sermon. I want my church back. Because the Seventh-day Adventist Church I knew when I got baptized on December 25, Christmas Day, in the Caribbean Sea on the island of Barbados, 1966, is not the church that I see today, 35 years later. If God does not open our eyes, the events of these last days will take place. They will go right by us. And we will not see all the signs around us that Jesus Christ is on. Have you ever, I'm sure you have, during the Olympics perhaps, you watch athletes. The most celebrated event in the Olympics is the 100 yards dash. Do you notice how the athletes begin? They get into the blocks and they're waiting for the gun to go off. For me, Jesus Christ is in the blocks. And he's just ready to come dashing down the corridors of immeasurable space on his second return. He is that close. And the events that are boiling around us furiously tell us, those of us who see, that Jesus Christ is, and I use the word, I almost said perilously close, perilously for those who don't know, but it's a blessing for those of us who know. My question is, can you see what's happening around you? Can you see the trouble the church is in? Can you see how that which the church has stood for over the years is gradually being corroded and eroded, and it is crumbling? It forces are chipping away at the foundations of this church, and thousands of our members are deluded, deceived, misled, misdirected, unfortunately. And it is happening even as I speak. God needs to open our eyes. Because if he does not, we will find ourselves shocked and surprised when Jesus shows up, like those who were shocked and surprised in the days of the flood. Moses preached for 120 years. Noah preached 120 years. And because people lived that long, there were those who heard him for 120 years preaching the same message. And they heard him with deaf ears, and they saw him with blind eyes. And the Bible says when the flood came, they knew not until it came and took them away. In John chapter 4, the story of Jesus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. In verse, I think it's verse 34 or thereabouts, Jesus said, "Say not, there's yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest." He said, "I say unto you, behold, I say unto you, lift up thine eyes and look on the fields." Open your eyes and look, Jesus says, for the fields are white, ready to harvest. But we will never see the whiteness suggesting the readiness of the harvest if we do not look with the eye of faith and with eyesight cleansed by a study of God's word. We will never see the ripeness of this world all around us. It is ripe. The harvest, Jesus Christ says, it is ripe. But those called to reap the harvest cannot see the ripeness of the harvest because other things occupy our attention. And we cannot, for the life of us, see the ripeness of the field as Jesus saw it. The disciples did not see it. Jesus saw it. And Jesus calls them, "Lift up now thine eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, ready to harvest. And so Hagar, in this wilderness, the Bible tells us, and God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. As churches, as conferences, unions, divisions, you name it, families, individuals, we often find ourselves in circumstances that look hopeless. Has anyone here ever been in a situation where you felt hopeless? You felt hopeless. You felt there's nowhere to go. There are no resources. I am in trouble up to my neck. And 5 minutes later, I'll be entirely under. No place to go. Hopeless. But God still has the ability to say to you and to me, open your eyes and look. Open your eyes and look. Abraham in chapter 22, the very next chapter. The Bible says in verse 10 of Genesis 22, then Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou no harm to him. For now I know that thou fearest me, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. The Bible says, and Abraham looked behind him, and he saw a ram in the thicket caught by his horns. Now, was the ram there before? I don't know. I don't know. But all of a sudden, Abraham sees this ram, which he had not seen prior to his arrival on that mountaintop. He did not see the ram. Where did the ram come from? I have no clue. But you will remember that when Isaac in verse 7 of Genesis 22 said, Father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? The Bible says, Abraham said unto him, Son, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Perhaps the ram was there. Abraham never saw it. But after Abraham proved his faithfulness to God, God opened his eyes, and there was the ram. God wants to do this for every one of us, individually, as families, as churches, on every level. God wants to open our eyes wider and wider with. Remember Elisha and his servant? When they were surrounded by hostile enemies? Now, Elisha somehow could see the heavenly forces. Whether literally or by faith, he saw the heavenly forces surround all over the hills to protect Elisha. The servant could not see. When the servant complained about the danger they were in, Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. God opened that man's eyes. He probably wished his eyes had never been opened. He saw angels and he saw chariots, and they were all on the hillside sent by God to protect Elisha. Now, Elisha somehow saw them. He knew they were there, so he was confident. He was at peace. He was at rest because he knew what he had seen with this eye. And for many of us, we never see the working of God in our lives, so we're always nervous, always fearful, always lacking in faith because we have never seen God work in our lives. It's as if God has never opened our eyes, but God wants to open everybody's eye. When you see God work in your life, it transforms you from that point on. I have seen God work in my life. I know there are many of you here who have testimonies. You have seen God work in your life. You know, agnostics and atheists say you cannot prove God exists. Yes, you can. I've proved it. For me, I have proven the existence of God from me because I have seen God work in my life. He has opened my eyes and I saw what I never saw before. And because of this, while I don't claim to be righteous, holy, perfect, anything of the kind, I will never turn my back on God because I have seen God with my eyes. Not these, but I have seen Him. And if you have never seen God in your... You see, God is a God who wants to be seen and heard. You know, we tell our children you should be seen but not heard. Well, I was told that when I was growing up. Be seen but not heard. When adults came to the house, we vanished. That's the way it was. Go to the back, go play, but stay out of the play of adults. You're not an adult. You're not supposed to participate in adult conversation. So we used to be seen but not heard. We came out high, 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 off to the back, off to the yard. That's your place. Adults are talking. But you know, God wants to be seen and heard. Christians do not understand it gives God the greatest delight to demonstrate His power on our behalf. The greatest delight. For in so doing, God provides us with a reason to testify of His goodness. And sometimes when God intervenes on our behalf, it is so magnificent that the watching world sees. And in that experience, the world can see, or your neighbors or the unbeliever can see, that God is working in that person's life. God right now desires to work in your life and mine, to open our eyes, to show to us how good He is. And God wants you and me today to open our eyes. Or I should say, He wants us to allow Him to open our eyes. I talked about the church and the danger it is in without going into details, and I won't. I think you perhaps have some idea of the theological problems we have, the worship problems we have, problems in our schools, problems in our hospitals, problems in our printing houses, problems everywhere. And if we are students of the Word and the writings of our prophet, Ellen White, we will see clearly that we are in the days of the fulfillment of things this woman wrote about 100 years ago or more. And if we, when we see it, our lives will change one way or the other. We will either decide to be focused and serious in hastening the coming of the kingdom of Christ, or we will go in the opposite direction and continue our laissez-faire attitude that had blinded us all these years. When our eyes are opened, no one remains the same. As Christians, we ought to pray, and pray hard, and pray often, Lord, open my eyes. And I believe it is one of the reasons why on some points of our doctrines we're still a little confused and we're unclear. Because we study as intellectuals, we study as experts, and we don't realize that it is God's abiding desire, particularly in these closing times, to open our eyes that we may see. But sometimes God has to bring us to a point of extremity, a point of emergency, a point of crisis, for us to pray and for us to desire this opening of the eyes. And so we go back to Hagar. God opened her eyes. Remember in Luke chapter 24, Jesus walked down the road to Emmaus with those two disciples. He was right there with them. They know who He was. Now, have they studied the prophecies carefully? Have they adopted the right mental attitude? Have they looked for a spiritual kingdom instead of a literal and a political? God prevents no one from knowing truth. Have they studied as they should? Have they resisted the common beliefs of the day and adopted the position of the Old Testament prophets? Have they done that? They might have recognized Jesus when He began walking with them. Instead, Jesus ended up calling them fools. Lovingly, of course, fools. The Bible says He opened their understanding. If God does not open our understanding or our eyes, there are things we will absolutely miss to our own spiritual peril. God, Jesus Christ, opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. This is a way of opening a person's eyes. He opened their understanding. My brother and my sister, the Bible says in Acts 10, 34, 35, of a truth I perceive, said Peter, that God is no respecter of persons. If this is the case, if Jesus Christ opened their understanding, Jesus will similarly open your understanding and mine, that they might understand the scriptures. And God opened her eyes. I love that verse. And it was only when he opened her eyes that she saw a well of water, resulting in the saving of her life and Ishmael's life. Abraham, in a moment of obedience to God, God also opened his eyes in a special way. And he looked and saw what he hadn't seen before. A ram caught in the thicket. That well of water represented a way out for Hagar. That ram represented a way out for Isaac, physically. Is it possible that the problem you and I have, God has a way out for us? But our eyes are closed to it. Is it possible God has a way out for any problem this church may have, but the church's eyes have not yet been opened? Is it possible God has a way out for the conference? God has a way out for your friend? God has a way out for your business? But the eyes need to be opened, that we might see. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, they have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Which means every problem comes with a solution for the Christian. But the solution is almost always invisible, and the problem very visible. It's like a tandem bicycle, two saddles. The problem riding up front, and the solution behind. And if you look the problem head on, all you see is the problem, and you cannot see the solution rider behind. God has guaranteed for every trial, every difficulty, there is a way out. But sometimes, almost all the time, God has to open our eyes that we may see it. You want to put your child in church school, can't find the money? You may have to ask God, Lord, open my eyes that I may see the way you have made for me to do what is your will. Have my child in the school of the prophets. Don't you want God to open your eyes? I want God to open my eyes every day. When I read his word, I want my eyes open so I can see things I've never seen before. If the psalmist can pray it, I should pray it. I want Jesus to open my understanding. I want him to say, open wide, and I open my eyes, and they pop, buggy eyes, and I look, and I see. I want to look and see that the fields are white, ready to harvest. And when we see that, we shall change the direction of our lives. We shall rearrange our priorities. And our number one priority will be the advancement of the third angel's message. Especially. Because this is the message that it is, as I read somewhere, it is the most serious warning to be found between Genesis and Revelation. The third angel's message. Many Adventists can't see that. And so we preach everything but the warning to the world of the wrath of God against all those who do not submit themselves to his authority and his sovereignty. We don't see the importance. And what do we say? Don't preach doctrines that alienate us from other churches. Don't harp on the Sabbath. You make the Sunday keepers uncomfortable. Don't harp on a vegetarian lifestyle. If you can follow it, you make meat eaters feel condemned. And Jesus ate some fish, and he ate it regularly. Don't harp on this because you make this person uncomfortable. Don't harp on that because you make that person uncomfortable. God has called us to a solemn and a sacred responsibility, and that is to warn the world of what's coming upon this world. He has given it to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and our eyes need to be open to understand that the neighbor right next door may end up in the fires of hell because I am not doing my duty, because I don't see the sense of urgency. I just don't see it. I'm sure you've heard people say, I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't see the problem. And they're not joking. They just don't see it. What's the big thing about Sabbath? I just don't see the big thing. The eyes are closed. What's the big thing about all this adornment we wear? Well, I don't see the problem. God cares about the heart, not the outside. And I don't see this. And I don't see that. And they are telling the truth. But a little prayer. Lord, open my eyes, and God will do it fast, that we might see that He has placed on our shoulders a serious responsibility, a tremendous task, and that is the proclamation of a message that saves, that liberates, that gives eyesight, that gives purpose, and that prepares people to receive a soon coming Savior. I want God to open my eyes, to show me what I can do. Would you like God to open your eyes? How many would like God to open their eyes? Let me see your hands. Hands down. Very often, preachers say things that sound like the thing to say. I mean this. If you ask God to open your eyes, He will. Combine that request with Bible study. Take some time from your work, your office, your golf game. Put it to the Bible study. I guarantee you, God will open your eyes and you shall sit back stunned, astounded at what He will show you. The first thing He may show you is something in you. Maybe the most embarrassing thing in the world, but this may be the first thing He shows you, something in you that is a hindrance to His work and to His desire to perfect you and to make you more like Jesus Christ. But if we ask God to show us, He will open our eyes. My people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. Where there's no vision, the people perish. We need that eyesight. The eyesight of the Spirit, that God may show us all the springing wells of opportunity that are available to us for our blessing as individuals and our blessing as a church, His precious flock. So may the Lord be with you and with me as we ask Him, Lord, open my eyes and show me where I'm wrong in raising my children. Show me where I'm going astray in my job. Show me where I am this in my relation to the church. Show me my deficit in this or that area of my life. Open my eyes and show me. Or open my eyes and show me how I might witness to this particular person or that particular person. Open thou mine eyes and show me. Let us pray. Father, we offer ourselves to You today. Our eyes need to be opened that we may see Your blessings, that we may see the peril ahead of us, that we may see opportunities to witness, that we may see that the fields are white, ready to harvest, and that we may realize there is an abundant harvest to be reaped, but there is a shortage of workers. Lord, let us see the place You have for us in this closing work of the gospel. Have mercy on us, I pray. and save us when you come. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.